Fuse. Let's pray. Father, we, as we continue to respond to you and your generosity, we pray that you would transform us so that we can respond to you as we ought to do and as you know that we need to do. Amen. In every flat and every house, in all the streets of Anlaby Common and Anlaby and Anlaby Park and Rokeby Park, and all throughout the city, there is at least one heart and mind. And for the vast majority of those hearts and minds, Christian faith is seemingly impossible. From our point of view, living, working, socializing with our friends, our family, our colleagues, many of them seem to be very far from God. And from their point of view too, if they think about God at all, they're completely indifferent to him, perhaps maybe hostile to him, or they just think faith is not accessible to them, or it's out of the question. And they've chosen at one level or another that it's not for them. Thanks very much. We know from our own lives that many are lost, they're sheep without a shepherd, they're aimless, they're sometimes deliberately rebellious against God, and rejecting Jesus in their hundreds and thousands in whole alone and on the road to destruction. Perhaps you are looking to gain a faith. Perhaps you've lost your faith, or some of it, or it's asleep, or it's lukewarm, not as strong and alive as it once was, or you would like it to be, or that you long for it to be. Well, a good place to explore finding true faith is the many great stories in the New Testament of people who met Jesus, including Zacchaeus, who we have heard about and read about. It would be good to follow the story on page 1053, and other scripture will appear behind me on the screen from time to time. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. These were hated people usually, because in the first place they were employees of the foreign occupying force, the Roman Empire, and in the second case they typically didn't stick strictly to honest ways, and they took more tax than they should from the Jewish people and kept that extra for themselves. We see that in verse 2 that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy and seemingly very far from the things of God. But it also seems that something deep down in him, in his heart or his mind or both, is stirred. Maybe he'd even forgotten it was there. And here is his chance. Jesus is in town. And we're told in verse 3, he wanted to see who Jesus was. Well, good for him. And in verse 4, he ran and he climbed a tree. That's very conspicuous. This isn't a boy shinning up a tree. This is probably a middle-aged man in fine clothes, who on top of that is known and unpopular, running and jostling through a crowd which hates him and is no doubt letting him know that it hates him. And Zacchaeus didn't mind what people thought about that. He's gone straight to the target to find out what he wants to know. Picture me or somebody better dressed trying to climb a tree. It's a very strange picture. Anyway, in the end, I think quite often that the fear of being thought a fool by those people who are close to people keeps them from the kingdom of God. Sometimes people are so self-conscious and anxious to preserve a reputation for realism, self-sufficiency, or whatever it is, that they can't respond when their conscience is pricked or their heart is stirred by a glimpse of the glory of God, because they wonder what people will say or think. That is a stupid reason for opting for an eternity of painful separation from their Maker. So they're opting for judgment and hell rather than eternal life in heaven for the sake of peer pressure, or indeed pressure they put on themselves. We can look for faith by contemplation or logic or the balance of probabilities or our own opinion or what we want, but we won't find faith or the meaning of life or solutions to the problems of life by doing that. Zacchaeus, verse 3, wanted to see who Jesus was. Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We find faith by looking for Jesus, as he himself says, and us doing it. Nobody else can do it for us. In John 7, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." We can't meet the man God, Jesus, physically, and neither can those many hearts and minds in the streets around us who know that they're weary and burdened. They know they're desperately thirsty, but they don't know what to do about it. We can search the Scriptures for what Jesus says. And maybe with someone we trust who can support us in that. But many people haven't got that option, have they? Or they won't take it, or they can't take it. So we need to, as a church, we need to pray for them, and we need to reach out to them and intrigue them or pique their interest. This is a Christianity Explored church, and so we put on these courses and we pray for people and we invite them, and we invite them to church so we can search the Scriptures with them, or show them the Scriptures and explain them and see what Jesus had to say. It isn't people who search the Bible who decide on lack of faith, it's people who've never read it. And then we read in verse 8, we have a great change of heart. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." So this is a revolution, it's a transformation. Here is a very rich man who has gone flat out for money. The amount of money he had was really important to him, and it dwarfed all his other concerns. And this fantastic covetousness is replaced by fantastic generosity. Jesus took from him all that deep down he didn't want, a bad reputation and guilt and loathing of self. After all, he's a self-confessed defrauder. And Jesus took from him all he didn't want and didn't want to be and washed all that guilt away. It was gone, removed. And to Zacchaeus, at that moment, God's gifts were obviously the richest and best gifts in the universe, and they were free. And so he responded to his generous God. That is the deal, these free gifts. It's not different for different people. It's not a negotiation. We're not bargaining with God. That's the deal. It's amazing grace. What is different for different people is what the nature of the best response is. So how we respond to our generous God does differ. So Saul of Tarsus, who was renamed the Apostle Paul after another sudden conversion by another encounter with Jesus, that was a different change. He didn't have any money to give. But he was a man who'd done all he could to oppose Christ, and he was changed into somebody who did all he could to promote Christ. And pretty soon, people saw a change in him. So in Acts 9, and all those who heard Saul were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who caused havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on the name of Jesus, Son of God? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Well, that's another obvious change which people notice. It happens to us when we're born again and come to a living faith in Christ. We change a lot. It doesn't all happen straight away, but it is normally visible. Isn't she the woman who used to bully her staff? Isn't he the man who hit his wife? Let's pray that people notice changes in us all the time. You may have read, it's 50 years ago now, but Nicky Cruz, the criminal gang leader with a big gang, who extorted money, dealt drugs, killed his opposing gang opponents, who was converted at a meeting along with some other members of his gang. And this resulted in a very abrupt change, a visit to the local police to hand in all their weapons, all their drugs, all their ill-gotten gains, all at once. And the police were, one surprise certainly, but also pointed out that if they had seen them approaching the police station, they'd have gunned them down. John Newton, who wrote the hymn Amazing Grace, was a slave trader, a swearer, a drinker, a bad man, an exploiter. His journey to faith was longer. An inexplicable rescue from a storm got him thinking. He studied the scriptures. He came to a faith. He did carry on in the slave trade for a while, but slowly his heart and mind were changed, and he eventually became a clergyman and became one of a very few people in London at the time who led a church which taught the Bible. When Jesus is outside the door of our hearts, he is a stranger. We might know loads about him factually, even theologically. We might like that. We might like what we hear and know. It might be attractive to us. But he's not Lord to us. He's not revered and worshipped. He's not in charge. He's not Saviour to us either. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Notice that word, whoever. That's everybody, isn't it? That nobody doesn't qualify for that word. So nobody is disqualified here. Nobody is unsuitable. Nobody's too far gone. Nobody's too far away. Nobody's too rebellious or cruel or heartless, and so on. Jesus died once for everyone, but only those who believe have eternal life. Only those who believe are saved. They were in a shipwreck with waves crashing around them. They're now in the lifeboat on the way to shore, and they're soon to reach land and life with Christ in a new creation and a new heaven and a new earth. Do we really live as if we've been rescued? Doomed and now not doomed? From Revelation 3, "Here I am," says Jesus, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Unless by God's grace and his Holy Spirit we let him in, Jesus remains a stranger. "I will come in," says Jesus, "and light up every part of your heart, mind, and life, and satisfy every deep longing, meet every need, loneliness, status, joy, enrichment, fulfillment." And that's true of us if we move from no faith to a living faith. It's also true, maybe, if we have a dormant faith, as I was talking about before. Those words in that Revelation verse are to the church in Laodicea, and Jesus rebukes them earlier on in that chapter. "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." It might be that you're aware of some lukewarmness in your own faith, which is otherwise long-standing and remains firm and central to your life. And I think that can be disconcerting. Why don't I feel like that? If only I could recapture my first love for Christ, experience afresh a welling up of emotion, happiness, gratitude, relief, courage, confidence. It can be frustrating and embarrassing if we don't have that. So let's look at Zacchaeus again in verses 5 and 6. "When Jesus reached the spot, he looked down and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today.' So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly." So Zacchaeus came at once, immediately, obediently. Jesus said, "Get down." Zacchaeus got down. And he was completely, wholeheartedly, spiritually, spontaneously happy. It's useless to receive Jesus nominally or ceremonially or emptily. It's useless to go through the motions. But if we receive Jesus sincerely into our hearts, it transforms our attitude, our nature, our intentions, our habits from what they were to become more like Jesus, and the change will be conspicuous, obvious. God's promise to Ezekiel, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and careful to keep my laws." And from 2 Corinthians, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the old has gone, the new is here." We're thanking God today for so many things. And we heard 2 weeks ago of the woman who wet Jesus' feet with her tears and poured perfume on his feet. Maybe we long to worship Jesus that extravagantly, love him that powerfully, experience the same level of encouragement and relief and gratitude, and somehow we can't bring ourselves to do so. Maybe we long to give more money. We can see how good it is for us to give. We can see how much our money is needed. But we struggle to commit to that extent and to respond with the willingness that matches our sense of duty. Well, we struggle because we keep Jesus at arm's length in these important matters of heart and soul. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay in your house today." I don't know whether Zacchaeus expected anything particular to happen. He'd gone and sought Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was. And then all of a sudden, the one true God has spoken to him and knows his name. Of course he knows our name. He knows us better than we know ourselves. But it is wonderful that the person who created and sustains the universe is interested in me, calls me by name and loves me, what is wanting to start and continue a relationship with me. He treasures me. The Bible calls his church in Deuteronomy 7, God's treasured possession. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up to him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. God is a God who asks for a prompt decision. From Psalm 95, "Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So Jesus says to Zacchaeus, "Let me today start on your life." Jesus loves us too much to leave us where we are. No problems are too hard. No good putting it off. The sooner you let him start, the better. There's so much work to be done, after all. The people tutted, verse 7. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But it's very noticeable throughout the New Testament just how inclusive Jesus was in his time on earth. So here he's talking to a rich, successful criminal, the rich young ruler, church dignitaries, high-ranking military officers. On the other hand, his disciples were mainly ordinary people of low rank. Jesus met the needs of the disabled, the mad, men, women, elderly, children, the murderer on the cross beside him. He had time for all types of people. If you don't have a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe and trust in his death for your forgiveness, Jesus is knocking at the door right now. He is calling you by name. He wants to come to your house. He's work to do in your house. He wants to give a lot to your house. If you'd like to know how to open that door and become a Christian, look for those Christianity Explored courses when they start. Keep coming to church. Ask me today, ask Steve today, John today, anybody you trust today, and we will be delighted to take you through the steps. "I must stay at your house today." There's no need to rush a decision like that. But have you been sitting on the fence for too long on this, the most important decision of your life? There's no need to rush. There's every need to decide. It's not something to deal with later, because tomorrow may never come. So Zacchaeus came down at once, the smartly dressed guy struggling out of the tree, and he welcomed Jesus gladly. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Remember, this is not primarily about money. It's about the glorious transformation in Zacchaeus's life. It's about the revolution. He was obsessed by ill-gotten gains. Now he is, to paraphrase Jim Elliot, who Steve quoted last week, he's giving away what he can't keep because he has gained what he can't lose. And he really gets that. He understands it. And if we get this God-given insight, it's like a new kind of logic. It's a better logic. It's a new perspective. It's a new framework for life. And it's really liberating. This is what we see in Zacchaeus, isn't it? He's free. And it's a miracle. Zacchaeus' eternal destiny is secure when a moment ago he was doomed. So now he's reconciled to God. Jesus said in Matthew 13, the kingdom of God is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. And from Isaiah 66, God says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted. So riches beyond compare, and a level of intimacy and closeness to Jesus that brings a massive sense of love and relief. Zacchaeus' response is happy and carefree, and it's authentic and real. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, today, that word again, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Let's pray. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Here I am, says Jesus. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for the revolution you bring to our lives. Security, love, riches beyond compare, courage, compassion, generosity, on-fireness for you, passion. Please give us power to respond with happiness, to answer that door, to accept the invitation to join your family, and to give ourselves to you, to love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to freely give our money and time and expertise to your body, your church. And we pray too for the lost sheep, the hearts and minds in the houses, flats, schools and businesses of the Anabee communities. And please give us grace and will and skill to show them you, their shepherd, and may they be delighted to see you, and may they answer when you call them by name. Amen.
Thank you, Gordon. It's a radical transformation, isn't it, that Zacchaeus experiences as he meets Jesus. And as Gordon says, do take the opportunity today, if you feel you haven't met Jesus or you haven't responded to Jesus yet, do ask someone to pray with you. Gordon would love to, I'd love to, or to talk it through with you. And if anything else has been raised by what Gordon has said, again, do just speak to the person, someone you know, pray with them afterwards.